Hi, Denisha. Hi, Helen. Hi, Joanna. Hi, Kimberly. Hi, Lara. Hey, Magic. Hey, Pamela. Sharon. All right, maybe I won't say hi to everybody. It'll take too long. So happy to be here with all of you today. Welcome, welcome. I hope you're doing well. And give us another 10 seconds to see before we get started. Okay. So before we jump into our work for today, a couple of housekeeping pieces. Let's see. First is for those of you that were able to make it last week for the Transmuting Jealousy workshop. I'm so glad that you were able to be there. I hope that you enjoyed it and received a lot of value. For those of you that weren't able to make it, it was really good. And if you get a chance, even think this issue doesn't touch your life, I still recommend listening and doing the exercises. I promise you, you will uncover some important pieces for yourself. I was going to say something else. Hold on about it. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I ran out of time at the end. Some of you probably noticed if you were there, I made this very, very quick, do not take me as a model, by the way, in that on that call, I made a very quick invitation, a sale on that call. That was not a good model of how to do a good CTA, number one. But number two, because it was so fast, I didn't articulate this piece. And I want to make sure that I said it quick. But some of you have asked since then. So I made an invitation into a program that I'm leading this summer called Sacred Rhythms. It is a really wonderful program. It's actually the first work that I ever taught over two decades ago. And I know that so many of you would love it. And it's not that I don't want you there. I want you there for everything. But that being said, my recommendation is to not step into sacred rhythms right now, this time around. Hopefully you all know me well enough by now to know I'm not one of those people that's just like, buy everything, just keep on buying. You know, that's not my intention. My intention is for you to receive what is aligned for you. And we have so much work here in Sacred Depths. Plus, I'm like throwing extra bonuses to you all the time. My recommendation is to really focus on the Sacred Depths work and to go deeper with the richness of what you're already receiving here versus adding more classes and things to do and listen to and master onto your schedule. I say this every year, and every year a couple of people in the current Sacred Depths still choose to register, and that's great. I'm happy to have you, but truly from my heart, there's so much here for you. You don't need to feel any urgency to rush into the next thing. I also promise you, as we get closer to the end of this program, I have other opportunities for us to go deeper and work together. So that invitation was not really for you. And I don't mean that. I mean that with love, not with like to offend anybody. Okay. One other housekeeping piece for right now. I believe that if you haven't already, if for those of you that are in the full course, if you haven't already opted in to go for certification, I believe sometime this week, you'll be getting another reminder email if you want to go for certification. You still have, I don't know, 6 or so weeks to decide if you want to go for certification. So you don't have to necessarily jump in this week. But if you have been thinking about it, if it's important for you at the end of mastery to kind of pass all the tests, you know, to submit your recordings, to submit a recording halfway through and get feedback on it. If you know going for certification will help keep you accountable to do all the homework, you know, to do all the pieces. And if it's important for you to receive that certification, then I recommend considering jumping in sooner than later so that you can start to kind of get organized and get things done for it. Any questions on any of this before we move on? No? Oops. Maria. Oh, I think you might be on mute.
I don't know if this is the right time because it's actually not a question, but I feel so compelled to share my insight from this weekend workshop we just had with the stepsisters.
Yeah, go for it.
And I waited to see if people were going to see it, say it, but no one else said it. So I feel like, oh, I want to say it because it really spoke to me. The archetype that stood out to me most was the land that she was born on. She was born in the garden and the forest with a loving father present and the loving mother present. And it was her like natural state is to be an abundant, safe, loved. And even though she stayed on that land, but life happened, you know, the dad dies, the mom dies, the new sister. And so she like forgets, even though she's still on the land is still holding her, but she forgets her power, but she doesn't all the way forget because she's the one that's tending to the land. So she's the one from her heart planted the pumpkin seeds. She's the one that planted the seeds that ultimately saved her, that reminded her of her true nature that was back to the land. So that's what really spoke to me the most about the archetype. And so I was waiting to see if somebody else was going to say that. And then I was like, oh, no, well, I just got to share it.
I'm so glad that you did. That speaks to me deeply as well. I was getting chills as you were speaking. Absolutely. And I love that you're making that connection between the land and that the pumpkins, her resources, came from that land. I love it. Thank you so much. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Anything else that anyone needs before we move on? Okay. So we're going to do our questioning practicum, and we're going to do it a little bit differently than how we've done our listening practicum and our creating awareness practicum. We're going to have more fun today. And we're going to do a couple different things to help us really work on those questioning muscles. So the first thing that we're going to do is in a few moments, I'm going to ask for 2 volunteers. I'm going to ask for a volunteer client, and I'm going to ask for a volunteer practitioner. But there's a twist on this. So it's going to be about a 13-minute coaching session where, you know, the practitioner will start, as we always want to, by asking the client, what is it that you would like to receive? But here's the twist. In the 13-minute session, the practitioner can only ask questions. So it's a little bit of a fun challenge to not make reflections, right? To not create awareness in any way other than asking questions. Now, we would never do this in a real session, right? We want a combination in the right moments of reflections and questions. But I have really found over the years that this exercise is a great way to flex the questioning muscle and not rely on reflections when you could be asking a question. So what we're going to do is we'll have a volunteer client and a volunteer practitioner, but everybody observing, I want you to get involved also. And I want you to be doing two things. Number one, I want you to be listening to the questions that are being asked and notice which ones really strike you, which ones you really like, which ones you might ask a little differently, because we'll have a discussion on that afterwards. And then the second thing I want to invite listeners to do is write down additional questions that come to you that you might ask this client during the session. Just so that we don't have a situation where nobody volunteers to be the practitioner, here's what I want you to know. This is not about perfection at all. We are not judging you or who you are or the value that you bring as a practitioner. We're not looking for a resolution or for the client's intentions to be fully met at the end of the 13 minutes either. This is a fun practice in asking questions. During the session, practitioner, you can take a moment or two to formulate the question also, right? It doesn't have to be rapid fire. So as always, I say, I'm going to ask for volunteers and I'm going to just intuitively pick who I think will serve our learning the most on this. And I'll ask for a practitioner volunteers first. So if you want to be the practitioner in this exercise, raise your hand in the Zoom function so that I can see it on the right-hand corner of my screen. I'll give you a minute, and then I'll just kind of intuitively pick. All right. Golda, let's go with you. Thank you for everybody else who volunteered. And then what about client? Who'd like to volunteer to be our client? Helen. Thank you. Thank you, Catherine, also for volunteering. Helen. Okay. All right. So you've got 13 minutes. Let me see if I can pin the both of you. Give me 1 second here. Okay, I'm going to turn my sound off and I'll be watching the time, but Golda, also you watch the time. If you go over, I'll interrupt, but about 13 minutes. Okay. All right, go ahead.
I don't see Helen though. Nice.
I pinned the both of you. Does everybody else see that?
I did not. I pinned you.
Maybe I just pinned it for myself. Hold on a second.
Okay, but, now I see Helen when you're speaking.
Might need to spotlight them.
Okay, thank you. I am a tech dummy. Sorry, everybody, give me one more moment here and I'll, let me see if I can get this going. All right, did that work?
Yeah.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Hi. So what would you like to receive for yourself in our conversation today?
I would like to connect with the compassionate part of myself in regards to my mom asking me to move out at the end of the summer. And I kind of swung immediately into trusting the universe and being okay with it. And then last night realized that my inner child had a lot of wounding that I hadn't taken the time to hold space for. So I'd like to hold space for that.
Just questions. Yeah. So what is that young part of you feeling?
Yes, there's a sense of abandonment and almost betrayal, which, yeah, another part of me judges it because I'm like, I'm in my late 30s, like she's entitled to her boundaries. But then another part of me just doesn't feel ready.
Mm-hmm. Will you say more about the doesn't feel ready?
I've spent most of COVID with very little human contact, and it really dysregulated my nervous system. And so I just had asked my mom if I could live with them for a while I stabilized and got back on my feet, because it really traumatized me in ways I didn't fully understand. And I've only been here 3 months with them here. And so it just kind of surprised me, because it kind of was just, my dog just passed away, and I'm just kind of getting in flow. And it just felt like the rug being pulled out from underneath me, which I understand from like a spiritual perspective. Like it's divine timing, and I understand like the catalyst and everything. But yeah, there is this other part of me that I wanted to acknowledge, because she's like, how could you do this to me, mom? yeah. Welcome to Sacred Depths, everyone.
Yeah, so I heard that you're wanting to hold space for the compassionate part of you, and I hear that there's abandonment, and I'm curious if there's something underneath the abandonment that you're experiencing.
I guess there's anger. There is some anger. And frustration, because I thought she kind of understood what was going on with me and just how deeply I needed support. And she's retired and has, you know, a house, but it's just a very awkward dynamic with her husband and me. And so I'm happy to move out. But it just, it's that ego, not what I expected, I guess, the attachment to a different outcome. And I guess, well, because the way she announced it to me was that her husband was so stressed with me and my dog living here that he thought he was going to have a heart attack. And so I felt just like I wasn't welcome in my own family. And also that I was kind of being projected upon, because if someone's health is at that point, it's a bit unfair to put it on my existence and presence. I don't know, it's like I don't trust my mom right now. And living with her has been an interesting experience, just going through all that shadow work and those wounds in a very real lived way. So I guess it's just like the next threshold in that divine mother, inner child healing work that's been going on for me. It just kind of came out of nowhere. So I did a bit of spiritual bypassing and just looking for the silver lining and the benefit, and not actually acknowledging that it's okay to be hurt. I don't have to attach to the story of it, but yeah, I appreciate the space to hold space for that.
I'm curious if you're willing to drop in deeper and share more about the divine mother and inner child healing that you might be experiencing.
I've been feeling just really disconnected from my spirit, and which is strange because I'm a very spiritual person, and I don't know. It's like I've been living this consciously unconscious life. I guess it's been a while now, but it's, I don't know. I guess my mom, this yearning or searching or longing that I'm wanting for my mom, I'm realizing is a projection of like the nourishment that I'm not providing for myself by honoring my spiritual connection, like by taking the time to pay attention and divert my attention and to have devotional practices and ritual. Like everything was flowing in my life really well a few months ago, but I was regularly engaged in my breathwork practice and my journaling practice and my ritual practices. And I don't know, somehow with living with my mama, it's just been, I felt very confined and not able to move as much. And so, yeah, so it is a blessing that I'm going to have my own space. Mm-hmm. I suddenly just became self-conscious and aware that there's like all these other people watching, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing?
You're doing really great. Thank you for being here. And I'm curious what the confinement has been about for you.
I think it's been an interesting juxtaposition to where I was throughout COVID, because I was in this house on my own, like not going out to work, like just completely cut off from humans, and like had moved to a place that I hadn't lived in a long time, so I didn't know anyone. And so I had all this space, and so like I got to all these layers of my healing and my shadow work, and like, yeah, just like layers that I had never been able to access when I was so distracted and in the world and of the world. And so it's like, this is that huge expansion is now, like now we're in the inhale, the contraction, and there's a different healing and awareness and shadow work that comes up in this space. And so it's like, yeah, I guess all the work that I've been doing, there's like an expansion ready to come, and there needs to be the space for that. And I don't have the room to open my wings here. So even though it's painful, I have to take that leap of faith, because it's like, I am ready, even though I don't feel ready, even though it doesn't look like I thought it was going to look for this step to come. But that's this weird path I'm walking with, just like blind faith, just trusting the wisdom of my body and trusting the path that my spirit guides me upon. I really appreciate like seeing that, like just the rhythm and cycle in my own unfolding journey. So yeah, thank you for bringing that awareness, or helping me come to that awareness.
I had heard you say that, I might not have got the exact words right, but that wishing that there was a different outcome, and now, you know, like you're seeing the possibility for spreading your wings. And I'm curious if you were to, you know, look to your future for what a golden outcome might be. What could this look like for you?
Well, I'd really love to have some offerings out like by the end of the summer, like some programs and workshops in place to offer for the fall. So that because I currently don't have a stream of income coming in. And so I want out that, and like just finding a home that meets all my needs, like getting really clear on what that looks like and what that feels like, and then just trusting that, and just like a swift and effortless transition that, you know, is that I can manage, that I can, that, you know, that I can ride the waves of.
Beautiful. Joanna, are you feeling complete? I feel like we're like at the 13-ish minute mark. This is so awkward.
Totally. Okay. That's great. Okay. If you want, according to my clock, you've still got a minute. Remember to ask about takeaways before you end.
Okay. Good. Thanks. Thank you so much. I'm very touched to be a part of this journey with you. And I'm curious, what are you taking away for yourself from this conversation, Helen?
I guess I just always forget about the expansion and contraction. Like I get caught in the discomfort and stories of suffering, and then I forget that it's just like a natural part of like growth and energetics and being human. So I really appreciate recognizing that, like, oh yeah, this is just a moment. Part of the growing pains of the growing process, and it's obviously the precipice and the catalyst for like something much bigger to come in. So yeah, so I'm feeling more excited, and I feel a, like there was kind of like a heaviness in me because I hadn't processed and given attention to that part of me. So like I can breathe more fully without that stiffness there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Helen, so much for just jumping right in with your open heart and your vulnerability. And thank you, Golda, for being willing to jump in with your open heart and willingness to be seen and vulnerability in your own ways. Give me a moment on the tech piece. To move the spotlights. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Okay, so next, Golda, I want to talk to you for a moment. So well done in your questioning. Yay. And I want to hear from you one thing that you feel really good about from that session. What's something that you want to celebrate?
I am celebrating, yeah, the risk taking of just jumping right in and being in like a very real, vulnerable conversation, and holding like the practicum instructions of like just asking questions and still, holding Helen, and having, awareness and breakthrough, and seems like what she really needed.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You did the instructions, which were not easy. And I love what you're saying. And we'll pull apart some of this. I want to pull out some of the pieces in a few minutes. But what I observed is exactly what you said, is that you asked the questions, but you were still able to hold that container with just the questions. Good. So from there, and Helen, if you feel like putting your practitioner hat on, put your practitioner hat on. You don't have to. I'd love to hear shares from the group. What are some things that you noticed, that you learned about questioning or otherwise? Which questions did you note that you really liked, that you thought were really effective? Or what other questions did you write down that you might have asked? So anything along those lines, what are you learning, seeing? What questions do you want to pull on, or what other ones you got? Who wants to share? Victoria.
Thank you both so much for stepping in and doing that. I was really honored to hold that space with you both. And it really felt that, I think the first thing I'm responding to is like the vulnerability on both parts, like the vulnerability to like take the risk and jump in and, you know, only limit to the questioning, and then the vulnerability of like opening up your heart and processing while being held by the group. So yeah, that alone is huge. I really responded to the use of curiosity, just staying curious, especially because I myself was like putting myself in there and being like, wow, it's so hard not to reflect. Like I really was wanting to reflect, but then really appreciating bringing in the curiosity as like being able to kind of bridge that gap in a way.
Yeah.
And then one of the drop-ins that I felt was the acknowledgement of the younger part and really dialing in to say like, what is that younger part feeling, and really getting in touch to with the felt emotion, you know, moving out of the more of the intellectual processing and getting further down into like the feeling layer, that was there. I could go on and on, but I'm going to let other people take space. So thank you.
Yeah. If you have others, you can raise your hand again, but let's pause. Thank you, Victoria. And let's pause on some of the things that Victoria shared, because they're all really important. So one of the many reasons why I love this exercise is absolutely when we're not reflecting, it causes us to be more curious just naturally, because we're not busy talking and saying our things and what we think is smart and what we know, right? But it actually, it helps us listen more, and curiosity is part of those listening. And we saw that natural curiosity come out in the questions. I won't name which ones because I want other people to raise their hands, but absolutely that feeling of curiosity was there throughout. And then this first question that Golda asks, that Victoria named, you know, what is the young part of you feeling? It served so many purposes. Number one, one of the intentions that the client said was that she wanted that little part of her to be honored, right? And what a beautiful way of honoring it by asking it, what is it feeling? And then it also already more than the cognitive was activated just from Helen sharing her intention, but that asking how is that part of you feeling helps activate more of that heart level. Beautiful. Good. Lisa.
Thank you, Golda and Helen, for that. One of the questions that really stood out for me when it was asked was, is there something underneath that feeling of abandonment? And that's kind of when I was like, oh yeah, that kind of, again, we were already getting to some experience of how Helen was feeling, but it was that deeper layer piece underneath it that allowed to come through. And you could see the emotional shift it created as well when that happened. So I thought that was a really astute question to ask. And what I noticed for myself as viewing, observing all of it is like, there's just so many things that could be asked in so many different directions. And, you know, it's like, oh, when I want to strategize, well, have you got somewhere to move to, you know, and all of those things. But the space was held very nicely in respect of what actually Helen had asked for.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So that question, yes, was such a great question because it was a slowing down question too. What else is there? Is there something underneath that? Anyway, I won't repeat everything that you just said, Lisa, but yes to all of that. And then there was something else. Oh, you said there were so many different directions it could have gone in. And that's something that I want to pause on just for a moment because it's an important piece. We have 43 different practitioners on the call today. Those 13 minutes could have gone in 43 different ways. And actually, even more than that, same practitioner on a different day, right? Same client on a different day. This is one of the things that I love about this work that we do. It is an art, not a science. And there are many ways to get to the client's intention. And I share that to take any pressure off of it needs to just look this way, or I need to do it the way I saw Joanna do it, or right, any of that. No, there's so many beautiful ways to serve and support a client's intention and creative ways too. And you mentioned the strategizing. We don't need to think three questions ahead at all. I promise you, like I pinky promise, if we are continuously holding the client's intention in our minds, the pathway, and then listening and staying present to the client, the pathway of the questions will open up question by question by question. Bruce.
Yeah, thank you both for, it was beautiful and heartwarming to watch. And what came to me was, you know, even though, you know, Golda was in the spotlight here, and I know there was times she was like, felt like there was times like, oh my God, what, at least that was coming up for me. What am I going to ask? Because that's what it would be coming up with for me in that moment. What I realized that pause in that space in between and how comfortable that actually is.
Yes.
It may not feel that way as a practitioner, but watching it and allowing for it, even though you're like waiting for that question to emerge, it was a really, watching it, actually a pretty comfortable space. And then having her, you know, that curiosity come up afterwards. Whereas when I'm in it, sometimes it feels really awkward and like, you know, even though I can do it, I'm still not in the place where I can just allow it to be. Sometimes I can. Yes. Depends, right? So that was one of the things that I loved about that. It's just that awareness, like, this is okay to be, allow for this pause for as long as it might take for that question to come up. The other one was, you know, that the idea of like, you could go a million different directions with all those. And I was curious about, like, when she said leap of faith, like, okay. And it Golda brought it back around, like, tell me what that vision is, you know, eventually, but that's kind of what, like, okay, I want to know what that leap of faith looks like for you. I'm curious about how that would feel and what would that be like. And, you know, but, and Golda did a great job to circle back to, you know, in a different way.
Yes.
Of how that was coming about. So those are just some of the observations I had for that. So thank you both for volunteering.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Yes. And the what would that leap of faith look like could have been another great question in there for sure. Yeah. And this pause piece, I'm so glad that you're speaking to it. It oftentimes feels more uncomfortable for the practitioner and feels so much longer than it does for the client. And I observed exactly what you observed, Bruce, that those, I wrote down beautiful silence, like those silences helped create space for the client to have more space, but also to feel more seen and heard. And of course, we're on Zoom. I sometimes have my sessions on phone versus Zoom, but we're on Zoom so we can see each other. There was so much that Golda did in those moments of silence that were ways of acknowledging and honoring the holding the hand on the heart, the deep breath, the looking Helen in the eyes. There was a lot of honoring and acknowledging happening in those silences. Susan.
I was going to say the same thing that you just discussed about the...
All right.
So I don't need to say that. But what I also wrote down was, you know, I wrote a few questions down. But then interestingly enough, those questions were actually answered through whatever questions Golda was asking. And I just, it kind of reinforces that idea of there's no perfect question, or it's not necessarily, you know, like she was holding the space and then the magic happens in that space, and not to worry about like, oh, I got to think of the right question to help the client, because whatever questions are coming to you in that pause. And then, you know, the magic is happening you know what I mean? I don't know if I expressed that well, but I just was so like, oh, I would have asked that question, but oh, here it got answered. Okay, great. You know? So it was just so beautiful to watch. Golda, you were so brave to step up and I'm working on slowing down. So it was really a message for me too, of that pause is okay. It's okay to pause and then let the question come to you in some ways, you know? So it was really, really beautiful. Thank you.
It's okay to pause and let the question come to you. Absolutely. Yes. And I have had the experience many times where I'm like, should I ask this question or that question? And then I pick one and the second question gets answered. Anyway, it's beautiful how that can often happen. Good. Sharon.
So my question, I don't know if there's another space for some reflection and gratefulness towards both the women. So it's not really, what I've got to say is less to do about specific questions, because I'll hold my hands up and not in the best space at the moment. However, whatever Helen spoke to sparked some beautiful connection and recognition and understanding for myself. So in watching you two go through that process, I've had some real aha, that's what it's about moments. So yeah, I haven't got the braveness today to sit in the client seat. So I want to thank you, Helen, for that. I feel like I've been through it. And so I want to put that into the space. And I'm not sure, I haven't got questions to answer, but thank you.
Thank you for that share. I'm so glad you shared that, Sharon, and that you received exactly what you needed to receive from the space. And it's also such a beautiful example of, I think I've said this here before, in any really good coaching session, the client isn't the only one that receives gifts from it. If it's truly an equal playing field, the practitioner is receiving so much as well. Thank you. All right, there's some shares in the chat. Let's see. Johanna's saying, I love the way that Golda was able to stick with the knowing that Helen had all the knowing and guide her to it just by questioning with curiosity. Yes. And then Helen's ability to feel heard and vulnerable to search and share. Yes. Kristen was curious to know about what the angry part of Helen wished to say and expressed. I was as well, as something that I wrote down. Again, like that, another direction that could have gone in. Dawn is saying, I was curious if there were other times in Helen's relationship with her mother that created confinement. Or if that idea of confinement in relationship has occurred in other relationships, is there something to look at for a pattern? Beautiful. Yes, absolutely. That would be a pattern question. I think that would be a very valuable one. And if you were to, just as like a teaching for everyone, I know you were just typing this in the chat quick, Dawn, but for the actual question, you would want to probably frame that in an open-ended way, something around the lines of what are other times where you felt confinement in relationships or in relationship with your mother? All right, anyone else? I've got a couple more things that I want to pull. Oh, wait, there's more here. Sorry, I missed it. Rosa wrote down the question I wrote down was, what might your little girl want from you that would help her feel comforted by you? Beautiful question. Yes, that could have been another very powerful question. Maria's saying, after the question about how her little girl was feeling, I was curious, what about Helen's, similar to what Rose is saying, what did Helen's abandoned child need in that moment? Yes, good. Who else? Anyone else want to share? Raise your hand. Anything else you want to pull out? Anything else you learned?
Give my hand.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I unmuted myself before I raised my hand. I was also really deeply curious about Helen's body and how, you know, she was using like spreading her wings and confinement. And I could feel the part of me that wanted to invite or explore somatically what her body was feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you're bringing that in. You know, especially if when we see on Zoom, if a client is making that hand movement, it's an easy way in. But even if we don't have the visual or they don't use it to say, what would that feel like to spread? Mm-hmm. Your wings, et cetera, and find that in the body and anchor that in. I mean, with just questions, it's a little hard, but anchor that in more, see what it has to say. What does the spread wing part of you want you to know? Or what does the spread wing part of you want your little girl to know? Or what does that part want the confined one to know, right? So that we're having wisdom from the parts and some kind of dialogue and communication there. Good. Bruce.
I guess there's two parts of me that are coming up here. It's like when we ask the person what they want to receive, you know, a lot of times, so in the arc of sessions, we have a goal. Like I usually work with that person in the first session on goals, and the arc of the multiple sessions to get there. But in a single session, we ask what they want to receive, depending on how present they, you know, what's coming up for them in that present moment. So I guess my question is, do you keep that in the back of your mind? I don't know if you do or not as you're coaching, because there's multiple paths you can go down, but the client wants to receive this. So if I go down this path, I'm kind of steering away from what they want to receive. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's such a great question. And the answer is yes. So we're always tracking, or I shouldn't say we're always, but I like to track the goals for the entire cycle, right? Which we've established in the beginning. And then I'm tracking the goals for the session. Now, sometimes the goals for a particular session just don't seemingly fit in that bigger arc, though I promise you they always do in one way or another. But sometimes if a client sets intentions at the beginning of a session and I'm not seeing it, unless it's, I don't want to say an emergency, but like an urgent thing that they really need to process. Cause sometimes there's just sessions like that. I might, as we're setting intentions, ask, how does this fit into the larger goals that we're working on together? And then either the connection is there right away and we proceed, or the client doesn't see the connection and I'm still not seeing the connection. And then they either can say, you know what, then I actually want to focus on something else, or I still want to focus on this today. And it's their choice. I don't necessarily do that every time that I don't automatically see it, but if it feels really like veering off, I feel it is my, again, if it's not an urgent emotional thing, I do feel like it's my responsibility to ask and see where the connections are. Is that helpful?
Yeah, great. Yeah. So the trajectory, you kind of pull them back and just let me pause. I just want to make sure that this is the direction you want to go, because the original intention, I mean, obviously not in these words, was this. So, you know, just kind of pausing at the moment. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. How does this fit into our bigger goals that we're working on together? Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Good question. Amy.
Hello. I feel like I might just be sort of completing a cycle of lots that's been said. And what was really coming up for me at the beginning, and it's really stuck with me because it's still kind of, I'm hearing it now. At the beginning, when Helen was asked what she wanted to receive, and she said about connecting with her compassionate self, and that really like dropped into my body from the beginning, and I could feel it throughout. And the feeling I was getting, and this is kind of going into a reflection, and it's leading to a question, is that she was really, I was witnessing her moving into this beautiful space of compassion with herself as she was talking and sharing and around that. And I loved just a minute ago when you were saying about maybe asking, like, what would that spread wing part say, and pulling that out. And something in me was forming a question around offering that phrase that she used about maybe inviting, like, what might your compassionate self like to share with that younger part of yourself that you're talking about, or to share with you in this moment as she was sinking into those deeper parts. So I kind of feel like that it's already been said, but it felt like to pull it together somehow of sharing that part. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you're underscoring that. Absolutely. Did everyone also notice, I've been meaning to say this throughout, and everybody's shares remind me to say it, did you notice how much was done in 13 minutes? right? We get worried that we need hours and all that. But when there is focus and presence and a tight container and aligned energetics and good skills, so much can happen in such a short period of time. All right, see what else is happening in the chat. Jen is saying, I was delighted to see how much Helen was able to simply uncover and meet herself in this practice with the energetically attuned, not exactly what I just said, presence and curiosity of Golda, yes. And then Jen has a curiosity about how many more questions I might bring to my clients. And I'm going to create, that is what I'm hoping one of the outcomes of this call is for everybody, is a willingness to experiment with more curiosity and more questions. So I'm so, so glad. Susan is saying, in addition to wanting to explore the anger, I wanted to know what would Helen like to say if she felt like she just had full permission, what would she like to say to her mother? It's a beautiful curiosity and exploration. Yes. Okay, good. Let me see what I have in my notes that we didn't cover. I'm on the edge of saying this because I don't think it 100% applies in this situation, just maybe a little bit. After Golda asked, what about this? Do you, you know, whatever the initial question is, you know, what do you want to receive? Helen answered, and I think Helen's intentions for this session were clear enough that she wanted to give space to that compassionate self. And I think she also said she wanted to honor her little one. There may have been room for just another minute of exploring either how she wanted to feel by the time she was done, or maybe even getting just a little tighter around the intention to know different directions to go in during the session. But I'm saying that like in a nitpicky Virgo way, more just for everybody's education, not Golda, because it needed it really. There are a lot from that curiosity. There are a lot of great, what we looked at last week is clarification of the current situation question. So for example, will you say more about what doesn't feel ready, which is a question that Golda asked. That's a clarifying the current situation question. Did everybody notice, this is part of the curiosity piece, we learned this in our listening, but I just want to connect some dots, the curiosity that helped create such beautiful questions in this session were predicated on deep listening. Golda was tracking, and you could see it in the questions. Golda was tracking everything that the client was saying, and she was using the client's language. Share more about the divine mother feeling, share more about the confinement, you know, as examples of that. So we want to be tracking, listening, and then tracking what the client is saying throughout. I had a couple of other questions to offer that could, again, like choose your own adventure, that could have been also valuable. Helen was talking about trusting her journey. So a good question there could have been, what can you remember, or what do you want to remind yourself in moments when you're not trusting the journey? Another question that Amy asked a version of it right now, and some other folks, Rosa asked a version of this in the chat and some others. What do you want the little girl inside of you to know about spreading your wings? That can help her right now. Can add that ending, but for concise, don't need it. And then when she was talking about the contraction and the trust, when are other times in your life when contraction has been exactly right for your journey? Helen, we've been talking about you for like a half hour. Let's come back to you. Are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Anything that you want to share or add to this conversation, or just what you're taking away from this entire experience?
It was really nice to experience like how easy it is to create such a tight container, because I really was so present that I was oblivious to the fact that people were watching until I had that self-conscious moment.
It's really funny.
I was like, oh yeah, like fuck, how have I gotten so vulnerable in front of all these people? So yeah, that was really cool to witness. And yeah, just it really is nice when someone asks you questions and it's like, oh, the answer, they're just lingering right there beneath the surface. So it's nice to have someone helping you draw them out.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. That was the next question I was going to ask. Is anything that would feel valuable for us to hear as a share, like from the client's point of view, what felt important in all of this?
Yeah, just that I felt very heard and respected and like, yeah, I don't know. It was like a very intimate moment without having to be like that intimate, right? Like it was just like this beautiful holding of space, allowing me to be intimate with myself, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It felt like the container allowed you to be more intimate with yourself. And I also, as I was observing, I was guessing that you were feeling very seen and heard, and that the questions, like you said, it helped you get to the next, you see the things that were right there, but the space helped you see them in a different way or take in what you already knew more deeply. Okay, great. Well, I don't think we have time for another practice session. Trying to decide what. Okay, so I might share a little story. We'll see. But before that, I would love for everybody to take a moment and write down a couple things. Number one, what are you learning about questioning or coaching from our session today? What are you learning about questioning or coaching from our session today? Sheila is saying, I'm realizing part of me still thinks there's a right way, a formula, and there really isn't. Yes, I'm glad you're seeing that part of yourself that still thinks that, and kind of doing some more rewiring there and reminding yourself that there isn't. Good. Who else? I'd love to hear some more voices on this and raise your hands. What are you taking away from our call today about questioning? Staying in the questioning brings out our natural curiosity. Yes. Yes. Who else? Maria.
What stood out today is the spontaneous, being spontaneous in the moment, and just being present and in love, that it was a co-creative process, because Golda didn't know the questions, didn't know the thing. She had 13 magical minutes to just be with. So it was a very discovery, like it all just unfolded and revealed itself based on the situation of that present moment. And like how you were saying, it's such a unique fractal. Any slighted the time, like even if you added two more minutes of time, that might would have changed going into the body, or if you had, you know, it just could have changed so many things. So all those ingredients created something that's so unique, and it could only unfold, or not only, but it unfolded so beautifully because each person was willing to lean in and explore and to be present, and there was not, there was this yes, let's go there. Yeah. And then that's what unfolded.
Yeah, there was that strong container that allowed for all of that, and then with the presence, all of that happened. And I love what you're saying, like two more minutes, it could have done been something else, or this or that or the other thing. And that reminds me of one of my very first circle and ritual mentors always used to say, every circle is perfect. And I really believe that every session, I debunk the myth of perfection in almost all other ways, but every session, every circle really is perfect and meant to be as it is.
Yeah, our version of that is there's always medicine in the circle. The medicine is always in the circle.
Yes. Yeah. Dot.
Well, I had a very similar share that Maria just shared, but I'll sort of repeat it in my words, that I'm learning that it's a co-creation, really, that I always feel like I'm bringing something, but the client is bringing everything. And so it's a co-creation and organic nature to be present with my own intuition, but allowing the client's intuition to really take center stage.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're sharing, and you're sharing in your own words, because it brings out a different flavor and a new meaning. Absolutely. Like if we go in remembering and knowing that it's a co-creation, that's part of what helps ensure that equal playing field. The moment we think that we have to like give more, then we've got that unequal playing field. And the hierarchy.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's held me back in so many ways of being more present for myself to allow my intuition to speak more clearly, and then allowing that beautiful silence for the client to see their own intuition rise up.
Yes.
So I appreciate this. Thank you both, Helen and Golda, for being so vulnerable.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, let's see what's happening in the chat. Hold on, I'm going up here. Mika saying questioning can be so multi-purpose, reflecting, validating, empathizing, offering compassion, accepting. Yes, I'm so glad you're sharing that, Mika. I hope you all saw that in the questions. They weren't just questions. There was so much creating, so much of what we looked at in creating awareness, honoring, celebrating, acknowledging, normalizing, right through the questions itself. Lisa saying the power of questions to over heading straight into strategy. Good. I'm so glad, Lisa. Yes. Rosa, deeper appreciation of the power of curiosity and the power of trusting the client's own process. Yes. And similar to what Dawn said, and how little we have to do. Yes. Johanna saying connecting to the client's heart and connecting the client to their heart opens space for the deep work to happen. I love that. And I would add to that connecting to our hearts as well. Magic is saying that it can be easy to go deeper by simply asking to share more. Yes, about something that the client just shared. Yeah, if you ever are like, I don't know what to ask, ask them to share more about a piece that they just shared. Kristen is saying, questions give clients the space to figure things out for themselves. Yes, right? Versus us telling them or reflecting it and to get lots of breakthroughs. Yes. Sarah, that's right. You do not need to have all the answers. And actually, it will stand in your way if you go into any session, either thinking that you have the answers or you need to have them. Susan is saying, I'm learning how far questioning alone can go. Yes, with the foundation of presence and an honoring connection. Good. Victoria's saying there's something so juicy about holding the space so a client can become more intimate with themselves. I love that lens. Yes. Golda's saying creating an equal playing field of safety and asking good questions creates infinite possibilities. Yes. And that you can go deep without knowing much of each other. People, so whenever I say that, the resistance to that in class is like, but Joanna, you've already created a tight container in sacred depths. And so even though we don't know each other, that's why we can do this together. I'll give that a little bit of weight. Yes. But that being said, I do hope that you are all starting to take from this, that you can safely and with such value and support go deep with clients, and you don't have to wait until session 4 or 5 to do it. Lisa's saying the need to be aware of, staying present with the client and not thinking, what do I need to do next? Yes. Jen is saying the co-creative emergent relational space that emerged in such a short stretch of time was really powerful. I agree. The invitation to only ask questions kept the session surprisingly fresh because it required being right in contact with the moment. Yes. Yeah, it is a fun exercise. So first of all, if you are meeting with your coaching partner this week and you're like, oh, I want to try that. Again, I don't recommend doing it in a session with a client, but if you're meeting with your practice partner this week and the two of you want to take it on, try a session with just questions. If you do, I recommend no more than 18 minutes total on it because it can start to get hard and laborsome after that, but it is a good way to build the muscle. Okay, one more question before we wrap for today. Based on everything that's come through today and everything that you're seeing, what is something that is on your edge, whether it comes to questioning or allowing space for silence, it could be whatever it is, but what is something that you know is right on your edge that you would really like to play with this week, either with your clients or in your practice partner sessions? And please share in the chat, what is it that you're going to play with? Bruce is going to play with the pause. Nice. Who else? What are you going to play with this week? Where's your edge? For Dawn, it's intuition-led questions and silent space for clients to see. Beautiful. For Maria, it's visioning questions. Nice. Talking less, Victoria says. It's a great thing to play with. Good. Susan is going to play with pausing and letting the question come to you. Love it. Yes. Magic is going to also allow space for silence. Yes, I'm so excited to see what comes for those of you that are going to do that. Lisa is going to stay in full presence without getting ahead of yourself. Yes, perfect for you. And allow the session to unfold the way that it unfolds. Beautiful. Love that trust in there. For Jen, allowing yourself space to slow down. You offer this easily to the client, but what happens if I wait in my response to catch my own deeper intuition? Beautiful. I love that. Yes. For Golda, it's going to be staying connected to the client's intention as a thread throughout the conversation. It's a great thing to practice with. Good. For Amy, slowing down to feel form the question that comes through. Good. For Katie, for your more chatty clients, playing with interruption questions with love. Yes, I'm so glad you're going to play with that. Johanna is going to stay curious, not just, but stay curious to keep you out of your head and ideas of outcome. Yes, and slow down. Yeah, the staying curious, what I meant to say, the staying curious isn't just a just. I think it's a huge thing. For Sharon, it's faith in yourself and getting back into the seat after a difficult session. Yes, I'm so glad you're getting back in, Sharon. You are okay and good enough. And please remind that to yourself as you step into that session and remember to have so much self-love for all of your humanity. Remember all that you are. For Kristen, no reflections. No reflections are creating awareness. Just ask questions and allow for pause and space. Beautiful. So quick, I meant to mention this at the beginning, but I just remembered now. I will be around this week as things come up, questions happen. I love all the shares in the Facebook group. Please ask me or the group anything you need. Share in the Facebook group. I am going to be out of the office next week, which is why we don't have class. But just in case you post something or ask me something and you don't hear back from me, I'm going to be in Iceland with my family, but I will get back to you after the 18th. So I am sending you all so much love. I'm thinking about you as always. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Golda, for being willing to be our volunteers. And just thank you, everyone, for your presence and the wisdom that you share and all that you bring. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, everyone. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you.